ready to eat a hot dog or something like that. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you guys tonight, man. Listen, I wasn't playing when I said that there's purpose in this room, destiny in this room, future in this room. You know, my greatest ministry, my greatest message to any young adult is, man, God's got a plan for you. Because, look, man, you're in the college age. You come out of the college age. You kind of lose yourself. You don't know where. Y'all ever had friends who went away and they came back completely different? You know what I'm saying? I'm talking like they used to wear like gym shoes and jeans, and then they come back with like tight corduroys and like dress shoes or something, right? You know what I'm saying? Like they totally flip their whole script. And, you know, and I've seen so many young people just kind of, you know, get lost in who they are. And one of our biggest messages here is the 1211 movement is for you to understand who you are. And not only that, for you to know how valuable you are to Jesus Christ. See, man, once you get that, life, you know, life ain't as crazy as you think it is. I think the biggest problem we have is how we view ourselves. You beat yourself up more than anybody else beats you up. Am I right? Huh? And that's the problem. So we're gonna fix that. I really was praying this past year about how can we kick off our brand new 1211 year here in 2011. And as I was praying about that, man, I was thinking about refresh. I was thinking about refresh. Now, how many of you guys, maybe not all the ladies, but maybe a lot of the fellas, how many play fantasy football? Am I the only one that plays fantasy football? Come on, T. T lost this. I'm just playing. I ain't gonna mess with him. You know what? See, fantasy football is a point system. You know, it's a point system. You know, you gain points by how well football players do in a given game, right? So I was down like 3 points in this game, and I needed to win this game. Because if I didn't win this game, I was going to be kicked out of the playoffs, which I eventually did get kicked off the playoffs. But if I didn't win this game, I was going to be mad because I take this game seriously. Fantasy football is no joke to me. So y'all quit laughing at me like it's some kind of, you know, I take fantasy football seriously. So what happened was I was on my phone. You know, it was, can I be honest with y'all? It was towards the end of church. I'm like, oh, man, it's the game. Okay, no. But and what happened was I was down like 3 points, right? And my cell phone, you know, it doesn't update, you know, all the time in real time. Am I right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? So I had to refresh my phone to get the new score. And every time I refreshed my phone, I went up 1 point, 1 point, 1 point. I ended up losing by 1 point, which hurt the worst. But I got to thinking when I was doing that, I was like, man, you know what? This is crazy because I applied it to my life. Like if you look at your life as like a web page, you know how you leave the computer for 2-3 hours and it doesn't update in real time. But when you come back, all the old information is there. But until you hit the what button? Until you hit the refresh button, that's when you get the new information. And I started thinking, like, you know what, God? I think a lot of us are looking at old pages. I think a lot of us are looking at old, stanky pages, old scores, old news. And look, I just believe tonight and this coming year that God's going to hit your refresh button, man. Because, you know, because check it out. He wants you to see the new stuff. He wants you to see the new information. Some of y'all still looking at the old scores. Some of y'all still looking at the old web page and you're crying about how life is so horrible when you have not allowed God to hit the refresh button. Because if you did, you would see that he gave you a whole new page, man. I'm telling you, the score is updated. Life is better. I got a better outlook. We need to hit the refresh button. Everybody say refresh. Refresh. So I said, man, let's kick off a series called Refresh Back to the Basics. So what we're going to be doing, 1211 Movement, over the next month, over this next 3-4 weeks, is we're going to be talking about the basics, man. Look, we got a lot of work to do this coming year. I believe God's going to use us to encourage people, love on people, show them who they are in Jesus Christ. I believe God's going to do something amazing through you because you're that valuable to him. But in order for us not to be stagnant and in order for us to move forward, we're going to have to get back to the basics, some basic fundamentals of why we do what we do and who we are in Jesus Christ. So tonight, listen, I'm going to preach a message called Mind Hoarders. Mind Hoarders. Everybody say Mind Hoarders. Now, who's seen that show, Hoarders? Yo, that is the nastiest. That's, look, y'all better be glad the video broke tonight, because I had a video for y'all, man. Y'all would have been, y'all wouldn't have ate. Look, Hoarders is, all right, let me tell y'all, for y'all who don't have cable, Hoarders is, everybody don't got cable, we young adults, some college students, right? So Hoarders is this show about people, individuals who have even actual illnesses or problems with holding on to stuff in their house, right? So over years and years, they've collected all kinds of garbage, they've kept all kinds of stuff and never have let it go. In actuality, they are unable in their mind to let it go. Y'all seen the show, the lady will sit there, I don't even know why I can't let go of it. I don't know why I can't. I just got to keep it all. I got to keep it all. And what happens is, look, it gets nasty, man. Look, what happens is this stuff builds up. Now, I'm going to start throwing some stuff at y'all. I mean, you know, animals, animal feces, old food, old junk. I saw a dude brush his teeth with like a 15-year-old toothbrush. You know, old milk cartons. And it gets so bad in the house is unrecognizable. You walk in, you literally have to crawl over clothes. You have to crawl over nastiness. This past week, this lady had rabbits living in her wall and they were running in and out. That's nasty. The guy, me and Anderson were watching some on YouTube earlier about Hoarders. This big Chicago city rat jumped out of the wall on top of the kitchen. Because when they held on to stuff for 15 and 20 years and they're not cleaning up and they're not changing anything because of this illness that they have, now they got rodents and rats and things running all through their house and it's just impossible to live a decent life that way. But man, tonight, we're going to hit one basic topic that's very, very important if we're going to move forward, and that's our thoughts. And I got to thinking to myself, man, you know what? We're mind hoarders, man. We got some issues that we got to deal with because we're gathering information. We're holding on to stuff that's been in your mind for the last 15 years. You've never released it to God. You've kept it on the inside. Now it's piled up and piled up and piled up. Now it's nasty and nasty and nasty. You don't know what to do. You have nowhere to go because your mind is so plugged up with so much junk. Junk. You hear what I'm saying? Now, I know what a lot of y'all thinking. Y'all thinking, man, he's going to talk about lust. Man, he's going to talk about, like, you know, the videos I watch. He's going to talk. No. We can go there, but I don't want to go there. I want to talk about how you view yourself. Because outside of lust and all the issues we deal with sin and things like that, see, I think the foundation really is the fact that there's so much junk built up bad about yourself that you're not able to even see that you can be free. So I think we're mind hoarders. We're holding on to negative thoughts. We're holding on to junk that people spoke to us in the past. We're holding on to experiences that we dealt with, and we've never allowed God to come and clean house because we've now become comfortable with the junk that's in our minds. And every day we think on crazy stuff. We think on nuts stuff, man, and God wants to free us. Everybody say refresh. Say, I don't want to be a mind hoarder. Y'all right about that? Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The way you view yourself is the way your life is going to outcome. So let's talk about this real quick. Listen, your thoughts, man, your mind. I read something earlier about your brain, and I read something that ladies, apparently, you all speak about 7,000 words a day. Look at the brothers, it's like, dude, you ain't lying. You ain't even lying. You know what I'm saying? I know my, I'm gonna watch it, baby. 7,000 words a day. Brothers, we speak 2,000 words a day. That's all we do. We chill. You know, we ain't got nothing to say. Turn on the football game. 7,000 words, 2,000 words. The brain is the most complex, complex part of your body. It is the central point. It is the nucleus of everything that you are. Your brain tells your hands to move. Your brain tells your feet to move. Your brain tells you when to blink. Your brain does everything. Your brain only weighs like 3 pounds. But they said when they scan your body, like in an x-ray or something, everything else looks like a ghost, but your brain looks like this magnetic, fiery little ball that's happening because it's always going, it's always moving. There are millions upon billions of neurons or connections in your brain that makes your life work out the way it is. Your mind and your brain is a big determination of how your life is right now. You show me how a brother or a sister thinks, I'll show you where they're headed in the next 5 years. You show me what kind of stuff you say out of your mouth because of your thoughts, I'll let you know where you're going to end up. Because people who think well of themselves because of what Christ did for them, they're going to end up in success. But if you keep standing in the rut about how awful you are and how crazy you are and how nobody cares about you and how these pity parties we have because we're not knowledgeable of the word, then pretty soon you're going to go crazy. Look, the main thing that was in my house when I used to get disciplined when I was growing up, everything had to do with my mind, right? So my parents didn't just scream at me, Greg, you better get it. I can't believe you made this mess in the kitchen. Blah, 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 blah. My mom would simply say, boy, have you lost your mind? She always asked me a question. Boy, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind to do something like that? And I sit there looking dumb like, you know, I don't know. Do what I got to do. Just do what I got to do. Are you loco? What's wrong with you, man? And sometimes I want to ask, you know, people that question. Are you out of your mind? Can you really say something like that? We got to get your thinking straight. So we're going to work on that tonight. Let me tell you about the power of your thoughts, man. Your thoughts, your mind, your thoughts control your whole life. You can have a Lamborghini life or you can have a Pinto life, right? I mean, your life is like you getting a brand new 2011 Lamborghini with no, you know, if your thinking is not right, if your thinking is off, if your thinking is foul, if your thinking is just always negative, then your life is like a brand new 2011 Lamborghini with no engine in it. You see what I'm saying? If your thinking is off, if your thinking is messed up, you're like a cheeseburger with no meat. Come on. Some people eat it like that, but you're screwed up, man. If your thinking is not right, you're like, you know, how many people have had on Christmas morning where you've gotten the greatest gift in the world? You got like that 3-foot model car, you know, it's remote control. It's like 6 feet long. And what did your parents forget? When your thinking is not right, you're like a precious commodity with no source of life in it, right? Let me tell y'all something, man. Last year, I got blessed. Everybody say blessed. I got blessed with 61 inches of pure loveliness. A television. That sucker was nice, man. Flat screen, man. It was big. You know, it was nice and gray. I mean, I ain't never had 61 inches of nothing like that in my life. I'm like, oh, this is hot, man. So, you know, person who gave it to me said, I want to bless you with this TV, man. You know, we just love you. I appreciate you. You know, all it needs is a lamp. You know, it just needs a lamp. I'm like, cool, you know, cool lamp. You know, I pay a couple $100 for a lamp. It's just like buying a new TV anyways, right? Might as well buy a lamp. So I took the TV. I set it up broke right in my living room. You know, some of y'all don't have no faith, man. Y'all laughing at me. I had it up. I mean, listen, I could sit there on my couch and watch football with no football. Just like, man, in about a week when I get this money, I'm going to watch the game on 61 inches of pure loveliness. Right. So I set it up in my living room. It was big. It didn't work. My wife hated the fact that I did it. I nicked the walls trying to get it up the stairs and all that kind of stuff. I mean, for a broke TV, man, this sucker didn't work. And I set it up, plugged it up. I said, well, I'm just going to see. Maybe he don't know what he's talking about. Maybe I'm going to plug it up and see if it, you know, see if it'll fire on. So it kind of gave me a little spark. And I'm like, oh, come on. I said, this bad. We about to watch 227 on 61 inches. Come on. So I fired it up, and it kind of like shot at me, and then this big message came up and said, lamp, lamp. I was like, what? Okay, cool. I knew that was going to happen. Maybe, you know, I was hoping for the best. You know, your faith will make you do crazy stuff. So cool. I went down and bought the lamp. You know, the guy told me the price for the lamp. I'm like, $230 something. Okay. You know, hey, baby, I got to, you know, get this is going to work, right? So, you know, I worked that out with my missus. Went and bought the lamp. Put the lamp in. Y'all should have seen how happy I was, man. I'm like, okay, put this lamp in. I had the instructions. Slid it in. Boom. Turned on the TV. I saw it kind of. I'm like, oh. Then next thing you know, something went. And it went, lamp, lamp. I said, what? $230? So I called the guy. I said, hey, man, look, you gave me a lamp. And I don't know if the lamp's broke, you know. I don't know what's going on with my TV, but it's not working. So can I bring the lamp back? No, sir, you can't bring that lamp back because you put hours on the lamp, so you can't bring it back. So I'm like, okay, all right, I'm messed up right now. All right, bro, I'll tell you what we do. I need to watch this TV today. That's what I told him. I got to watch this TV today. So look, can you send somebody down here? Of course, he charged money to come down. He sent a couple guys down there, man. And you know what I didn't like about the whole situation? This is no offense to anybody. These cats would not speak English around me, man. They came in and started speaking another language and laughing and looking at me crazy, right? I'm serious. Open this whole TV up. Oh, yeah, well, something else broke. It's going to cost you about $700. Yeah, that TV's in my garage right now if y'all want it. You know, if y'all want it. But I thought about that TV because I had such a precious commodity. I had 61 inches of football craziness in my possession at my house, and I could not use it because the lamp was bad or something else was bad in it. I'm looking at amazing young adults. I'm looking at people with purpose and destiny and ability and talent and gifts. And until we get our thinking right, that's all you are, is just that person not allowing God to use you to the full potential. Because we got to get our thinking right. The Bible says that, behold all things, you are a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away and all things have become new. I want to help you tonight to start viewing yourself the way Jesus views you. Amen. Check this out. Y'all, I want to show y'all something real quick. Can I show y'all something over here? I want to see if, sorry y'all about the guitars. I want to see if some of y'all's bedroom look like this right now. Pull that out for me, Anderson. Some of y'all, can you get a light on that? How many of y'all beds look like that? Y'all like, yeah, just like that. Hey, give me a light on it, man. How many of y'all bedroom look like that? You know, how many of y'all been so tired? How many of y'all been so tired you came home and you was just like, man, forget this. You got pants all on you. How many of y'all did that before? Towels, that's just nasty. Hanging your clothes up. What's good with that? Two or three sheets. You didn't change a sheet. You just covered it with another sheet. Your old church shirt. You're sweating and praising worship, and then you threw it on your bed. Work clothes from restaurant. So, you know, a lot of us, man, a lot of our minds are just like this. There's no order. There's no chaos. I mean, there's no order. There's all chaos. There's all confusion. And to me, when I was looking at this, y'all, this represented so many things. It represented regret. It represented anger. It represented even abuse. It represented guilt, condemnation. It represented all kinds of junk in the past. It represented dirtiness. It represented you feeling bad about what you've done to other people, about what the devil puts in your mind. All this stuff is a representation of it. And you know, I got to thinking, y'all, a lot of times, man, and many of us go to bed every night just sleeping on all this junk, never taking time to clean it up. Because you know what? Even in a filthy house, same in a filthy mind, after a while, you get used to it. You walk past that thing a few times, you won't even see it anymore. Some of us are running around anger. We're ignoring it like it's not even there. We don't see the towel of regret. We don't see all these issues that have been in our lives that we never wanted to deal with. And all we do is lay down and go to sleep every night with heaviness, with regret, with anger, with issues, never bringing it to God, allowing him to refresh you, allowing him to make you brand new. How many of y'all tired of thinking wrong? Tired of living with these issues? Tired of living with these dealings? Listen, let me encourage you. Listen, there's a few hindrances to our thought life. I'm going to give you two. I'm going to be done in a few minutes. Two hindrances to our thought life. One is this: the influence of our past. I just quoted to you 2 Corinthians 5:17, that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But we have not quite got that revelation, 12:11, that old things have passed away. So influences of the past have come to haunt our present to try to paralyze our future so that we will not go anywhere in Jesus Christ. Listen, the main objective of our adversary, the devil, is to keep bringing up old stuff that doesn't matter anymore. Am I right? How many of y'all have been in a relationship or a friendship where you kind of squashed it all, but the other person wants to bring up the old stuff? You're like, why are you even bringing up old stuff? I thought we got over that. That's the main tactic of the devil. He likes to bring up old stuff, old regrets, old hurts, old past issues. He likes to bring up old sins. He likes to bring up stuff that you were delivered from 10 years ago, and he likes to throw it in your face just to remind you that you had it. But here's the problem. We can do a couple things with those past things. You know, think about it. Why, when you got saved, or, you know, when you get saved, why is it that your spirit is renewed and your spirit is refreshed, but your memory isn't gone? You see what I'm saying? Why is it when you come to the altar and say, you know, I'm surrendering my life to Jesus, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new, why can you still remember everything in the past? Well, the devil's glad that you can remember everything in the past because he uses it to throw in your face. But we are called to use everything that we've dealt with in our past to propel us into our future. Listen, our testimony of our past is exactly how you're going to encourage other people to get through things that you've gone through. The testimony of your past is going to be the very thing to encourage people to say, you can make it just like I made it because God brought me through. He'll bring you through. But we can't bow down to when the devil throws old stuff in our face. So our past can be a hindrance to our thought life. Not being in the Word of God will allow you to always think that you've never changed, even though you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Amen? The devil wants to use your past to bring up thoughts that paralyze your present. Your past isn't supposed to be a discouragement for your present, but a testimony for your purpose. The more God uses us, the more Satan will try to harass us. That's why some of you guys have seen progress in your life and you've seen God do great things through you, and then hell breaks loose. Am I telling the truth? You finally say, I'm doing something good for God. I'm walking forward with him. I'm feeling good. Then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. Why? Because the devil understands that your purpose is so great that it'll absolutely defeat him if you keep going on. So he keeps bringing up your past to stall you. You know, when I was reading the scriptures, I was thinking like, you know, as you're walking forward, just serving God, every step that you take, the devil just yanks you back because of a thought. Some people just think about, they just get mad at anything. You know people like that? Just get mad at everything. Me and Anderson were in Starbucks earlier this morning. We were people watching, right? And this lady got mad because she got cut off. And I just sat there and looked at her and said, man, she was just like, the dude was gone, but she just got mad. The situation is over, but she's still like, darn it. I can't believe 5 minutes ago he cut me off. Am I right? Have y'all ever gone through something and then like an hour later you like, I can't believe that happened to me. I can't believe he said, ladies, y'all have done that. That joker said that to me. I should have told him off right there. I should have said something. Yeah, I'm like that all the time. You know, see, my wife, she's so she's so skilled in arguments. You know what I mean? You just can't, like, she's so good with arguments, it just paralyzes me. I'm just like, She's like, well, you better know that. I'm like, I want to say something. And then, like, 15 minutes later, I'm like, ooh, I know what I can say to her. You know, she, y'all bust in the room, she's asleep, it's like 10:30. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? You ain't even think about that. You know what I'm saying? You ain't even consider that. You know, so I ain't even trying to hear you, so she can't talk back because she's asleep. So me and the dog just sitting there chopping it up. Like, you know, it's whatever. So I'm good. I'm going to bed. Bye. Bye. I'm tripping over something that happened like an hour ago, man. You see what I'm saying? That's what we do, man. And those, even those little instances the devil wants to use to tick you off, to throw you off your path, and screw up your purpose. Am I right? The second thing that's a hindrance to your thoughts, guys, is this. The wrong input. Now, I'm going to ask y'all a question because y'all college students and young adults, you know what I'm saying? I think we can be honest about something, that all young adults ain't got the most money. I mean, don't fake it. You know what I'm saying? You know, ain't got all the most money. So how many of y'all have ever experienced maybe disconnection? Maybe you woke up and the phone didn't work no more. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, you know, you like, man, you know, the internet, say, you know, call Cox. Call Cox? What I got to call them for? You know what I'm saying? And you know, somebody calling you on your mama's phone. Hey, man, tell her, you know, her phone ain't working. You know what I'm saying? I was thinking about this, man. Watch this. Our generation is in like a catch-22 because right now we have the greatest technology and advancement you've ever seen. We got stuff, man. Look, my man, where's my man? Is he here tonight? My man walked in the other day. He was talking on his watch. I didn't even know that was invented. You can talk on a phone on your watch? He's like, yeah, man, all right, cool. You know, I'm like, what, he playing Power Rangers or something like that? What? I thought it was like a game, like. You know, I'm going to be back, man. Yeah, all right, I'll give you a call a little later. And I said, hey, man, you talking on your watch? He's like, yeah, you know. So that's dope. If I was like 8, you know, I dreamed about that kind of stuff, man. My watch was like, you know, everybody, every shorty, every young guy, you know, they got a weapon. My watch was like, boom, like, you know, let me get you. I tried to get the calculator watch so bad, but I could never afford the calculator watch. But anyways, this guy was talking on his watch. And we're in a day right now where technology is so amazing. Technology is just incredible. We can video message anybody. We can call anybody. Man, I can get on the road right now and you can call me and say, hey, I want you to go and so. I'll GPS it and I'll go right there. It's just crazy. But at the same time, it's a catch-22 because all this technology has distracted us from everything God. Am I right? All of this technology has distracted us, so we got the wrong input. We're pouring so much stuff in our lives that we're not leaving any room for growth in our purpose. Now, I'm not preaching, you know, I'm against Facebook and Twitter. I love Facebook and Twitter. You know, I'm always poking people. You know, I don't poke nobody. But, I'm always hanging out on Facebook and Twitter, man. You know what I mean? But you know what? You got to really assess your life. Your thought life is being controlled by a lot of stuff that you put on the inside of you. Now, let me point some stuff out to you, man. A lot of you guys dealing with low self-esteem, you know, you sit on Facebook for 4 hours looking at everybody else's profile picture. You know, you got low self-esteem, but you like, man, you know, her picture in the bathroom is a lot better than mine. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and you don't, but see, no, listen to me, y'all. See, y'all waiting for the devil to come and, like, throw, you know, pornography right in your face or throw this, you know, a lot of stuff. You know, the Bible says that the devil is cunning. He's slick, man, and he'll get to you in areas that you don't even realize. And your thinking is always going to be off if you're putting in more things than you put in God. You understand what I'm saying? You got to have some balance in your life, man. We're in such a great technological age, but yet we're so depleted in the Word of God, man. We got young Christians who don't understand who they are in Jesus Christ because they won't take time, spend time in the Word of God. And where it tells you who you are, where it tells you your future, where it tells you how powerful you are. So when you have those disconnection situations, when it first happens, it's like somebody stabbed you in the throat. You're like, oh, no, he was going to call me today. No, man. That's worse for fellas, you know what I mean? Oh, she going to hit me up. Oh, something. You know what I mean? And it's just horrible, man. But then a lot of people, most of the people I've talked to, over time, when they're without those little things, they actually prefer it. They actually enjoy it because they were less distracted and they were able to pour in something that they weren't pouring in before. See, if you don't have television, you don't have to sit there and watch sitcoms all day and pour in all kinds of stuff. When you don't have a phone, you don't have time to sit on Twitter and Facebook all day and not pour in any God. But when some of those things are pushed to the side, you say, well, what do I have left? And then we say, well, I'm going to spend time with God. I don't have anything else. But I don't think it should be that way. I think we should find a spot in God because his presence is so good. His presence is so pure, man. Let me tell you guys something, man. If I did a challenge, like a week challenge, if I did a challenge where I told you to, you know, take, you know, as much time as you spend online or on Facebook or whatever and spend that time hearing from God, y'all would blow this place up next Friday. You would. You bring your friends because you'd be like, man, you know what? I was praying and reading the Bible and God spoke to me how beautiful I am. He spoke to me how wonderful I am. He spoke to me how he has a purpose for me. Man, I was reading the Bible and praying and God showed me that he loved me so much and he filled those voids that are on the inside of me, those voids I've been carrying for years. And maybe I was out without a dad or without a mom or without any family. And God, he came in, man. He came in. But we're not giving him a chance to come in. We're getting him at convenience, man. Let me tell you something, guys. A lot of everything, I'm not trying to sound cliche-ish, but everything you need is in Jesus Christ. Everything you need is in Jesus Christ. Let me tell y'all something, man. I've gone through the roughest times in my life, man. But the greatest times of pouring into me was when I was in my room by myself with my Bible, with some music, and God just began to pour into me. Pour into me. Pour into me. A lot of you guys got empty holes in your heart, and you got emptiness in your thought life, and you're all cluttered up, and you feel like you're going crazy. You feel like you're going crazy. You know, if I get one more rejection, I'm going to snap. If I have one more confrontation, I'm going to snap. If I think about what my dad did to me one more time, I'm going to blow up. I'm going to go crazy. And we're harboring all this stuff that God never intended for us to harbor. And I got the answer for you tonight. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross. And he just didn't do it to be cool. He did it because he took all that junk on himself. The Bible says that God made him that had no sin to be sin so that we may be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All the stuff we deal with and that we suffer with and that we receive, all the mind hoarding that we go through, all this stuff you see over here in this bed, he took it all. All this stuff was on the cross. He never intended for us to go to an early grave dealing with stress and anxiety, having no hope and no future. Listen, we're young, man. We are young adults. We have a whole life ahead of us that God wants to blow up. Y'all have dreams and ambitions. Y'all have goals and talents and gifts that God wants to just make crazy. He wants to make you world changers. And I believe that with all of my heart. There's some gifts in here, man, that if you gave it over to God and said, you know what, I'm going to stop mind hoarding. I'm going to get in your word, God, and see and believe that you took all this on your cross 2,000 years ago. You give that gift to God. I guarantee you, man, he'll open up doors for you that you could never, ever imagine. God has blown my mind only because I've offered my heart to him, offered my mind to him, offered my thoughts to him. Life is not about good doing. Our faith in Christianity in Jesus Christ is not about you doing good. It's not about you even believing good. It's about you right thinking right, believing the right things. Knowing when to cast off lies, knowing when to cast the devil off when he's lying to you about who you are, and believing what Jesus said about you. Now, let me tell you this, man. This is the only thing I can give you, man, about your thought life. You know, any preacher, any pastor, any counselor, I don't care who they are, they're not going to be able to help you if you don't say, I'll see what he said about me. I'll see what he said about me. I can preach to you all night. We can quote scriptures all night about who you are. But until you sit down and get a revelation of who God says you are so that he can unclutter your thoughts and your mind, you're going to stay stagnant in the same place, in the same place, in the same place. 12:11 knows this. My greatest fear, my personal greatest fear is 40 years from now, we're all having a 12:11 reunion. Y'all know what I'm going to say, 12:11. 40 years from now, we cooking out, you know, having a reunion, and 80% of the people are in the same place that they were 40 years before. And maybe 20% of the people actually succeed because they got it. That's my greatest fear. If you all know me, I'm just kind of driven. Like, you know what, dude? Every single day, let's make it happen. We don't have time to waste. Yeah, we're in our 20s and 30s, but man, that's perfect. This is when God can grab us. This is when God can mold us. This is when God can get us ready. But look, 40, 50 years from now, if we're sitting doing the same thing, what's the point? The Bible says, Christ said, I come to do a new thing in you. And you know what else he said? He said, you know what? I won't stop working on you until the day of Jesus Christ. Christ said he'll never give up on you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never kick you to the curb. And it's crazy. As much as we turn our back on Jesus Christ, he'll always turn us around and say, you know what? I still got purpose for you. I still got destiny for you. I still want to make it happen for you. I want to encourage you guys tonight, man. I'm going to give you a few scriptures and then we're out of here. A few scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Everything you read in the Word of God is not about what you're going to be. And you know what? I used to hear people always talk about what you're going to be. And I talk about what you're going to be in the future. But the Bible always talks about what you are. The Bible speaks about you in present tense. Why? Because Jesus Christ made you who you are now. So you may feel like you're worthless. Christ says you're valuable. You may feel like you have no hope. Christ says, well, you already got hope right now. You may feel like you've been sick in your body for a long time. Well, Christ says you're healed. You may feel like you're lost. Christ said, well, I found you a long time ago. Because Bible always talks about now. And the main purpose of the scriptures is to tell you who you are, who you are. This is who you are. You're talking crazy. No, 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 no. This is who you are. You're talking stupid. No, 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 no. This is who you are now. The only problem is we don't believe it. We don't receive it. And we don't meditate on the fact that we are who we are. Y'all understand what I'm saying tonight? I want to pray for you guys, man. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for a refreshing over your life, man. I believe there's an anointing on our ministry here that gives people second chances. I believe God has used us to pray for people who were screwed up and make them new, refreshed. And it's not that you're not new. It's not that you're not refreshed. It's that you don't know it. You don't believe it. But what we pray here at Faith Builders Church as a body is that you would get a revelation of who you are in Jesus Christ. That you would get a revelation of what God is doing in your life right now. And that you are right with God. And that you are in good standing with him. And that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that you are healed. And that you are saved. Because Jesus Christ did all this stuff for you 2,000 years ago. Y'all hear what I'm saying tonight? Somebody shout, it's done. It's done. See, you're healed. You're blessed. You have everything waiting on you. God is just waiting for you to respond. Can we stand up tonight and just bless the Lord for a moment? Lord, we just love you. Just thank you, Lord, that you're doing something new in us, God. You're cleaning up this mess in our room. You're cleaning up our thoughts, God. And we just ask you right now, Jesus, just to come right now. Brian, you still here? Brian gone? Can you come hang with me for a minute? I want to pray for you guys, man. We're going to worship just for a few minutes. I'm going to pray for some people. Listen, I want to pray for people who feel like you're going crazy. You need a release in your life. You need a refreshing in your life. You need a brand new start. Now, listen, here's the deal. When I pray for you tonight, it's not just, you know, you got prayed for and boom. It's I got prayed for. Now, man, I get to go hear what he says about me personally. So I want to pray for all you guys, for two people, for people who feel like you're going crazy and you want your mind uncluttered. You're ready to give over this stuff to God. And I want to pray for you guys who don't know Jesus Christ in the room tonight. Listen, you may have came here, had a good time, heard some good music, even experienced our worship, and maybe even wondered what was that all about. How could people so passionately raise their hand to a God? Well, it's simply because we've opened ourselves up to him and he's come in and he's changed our lives. Has anybody been drastically changed by Jesus? Hallelujah. So I want to pray for you. Listen, everybody just bow your head for a moment. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. Christ died. He shed his blood that you may live. All your filthiness he took upon himself. All your mess ups, he took upon himself. All your sickness, he decided to bear it on his body and die for you in your place so that you may live the abundant life in Christ Jesus. You're living right now because of the grace of God that he poured on your life. If you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, I want you to just throw your hand in the air. Listen, I'm going to pray the prayer of salvation for you, and you are not going to leave here broken, but you're going to leave here healed in Jesus' name. Throw your hand up if you need Jesus tonight. If you've never accepted him into your life, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, just throw your hand up at me. I want to see who you are. Because I'm going to pray with you tonight. You're going to know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 If you want prayer also along with the young lady who raised her hand, if you want prayer for your mind tonight, if you feel like you're going crazy, listen, I just want to release a blessing over you. I'm going to ask our young lady. I want to give it up. I want to ask you and the rest of you guys who want prayer to come to the altar really fast, really quick. I want to pray for you right up here. Crystal, if you can come up. Hallelujah. Y'all give it up. Somebody's giving their heart to Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. You want prayer for your mind? You feel like you're going crazy? I just want to pray a blessing over you. All you guys who know Jesus Christ, all you guys who feel like you got the power of prayer, just stretch your hands forward to this altar. And as you're stretching your hands, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation with our young sister right here. Everybody repeat after me. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me. I am saved tonight because you are so good. I accept you into my heart. I believe in my heart and I speak with my mouth tonight that Jesus Christ is Lord over my life. I receive you and I start a new day in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Brian, can you sing something for us, man? Listen, I'm going to pray. Guys, just stretch your hands. I'm going to pray down here for a few moments. If you want prayer, come on. Let's take a few minutes. Come on up. My wife and I, we're going to pray for you. I want to pray for your mind tonight. I want to pray for that clutter to go. If you don't come up front, take a few minutes with me. Pray. Just stretch your hands and pray. Pray for these people. Pray that God will touch and bless them in Jesus' name.
Hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Just help me find the way. Bring me back to you. cause you're all alone. In your long loving, the meaning of your long love. Help me know you are near. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. Cause you are my desire. No one else will do. Nothing else, cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Just help me find a way, bring me back to you. Cause you're all I want. In your love ever needed. Cause you're all I want. Help me know you are near. You're all I've ever needed. Cause you're all I want. And we know you are near. And we know you are so near. And we know you are near. To me, you're everything to me. Lord, you're all I want. Come in and clear my mind. And you're all I've ever needed. Lord, you're all I want. Help me know you are near. Help me know you are so near. Help me know you are near. And just let me know you are near. Lord, you are near. You are near. You're everything. You're everything. Lord, you're everything to me. Lord, you're everything. You're everything. You're everything to me. everything I need. As I sing of your love forever. As I sing of your love forever. Yes, I sing of your love forever. And I can sing of your love forever. Yes, I sing of your love forever. And I can sing of your love forever. And I will sing of your love forever. And I could sing of your love forever.
God, cover our thoughts tonight. Remove the clutter. We give it all to you. We want to move forward in Jesus' name. We surrender our lives to you. We thank you for the salvation tonight. We thank you for the prayers of the righteous. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody, clap your hands. Let's celebrate the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, guys. Listen, guys, please do this for us. Stay for a little while. Eat, man. Eat some food. Hang out. I want to meet you guys if I've not met you all. I want you to meet my wife. And listen, I'm asking you guys to come back next week, next Friday night, and bring some people with you. We want to encourage as many people as we can. Did you guys have a good night tonight? Good. Love you all. We'll see you in the courtyard, man. Greet somebody.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Abbey Road. Please come in.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
Just be time, love, love, love. met you this evening from the Windy City. They tell me Florida's got the oranges, but you know we got the juice. Hey, listen, speaking of juice, we want to be the first one to play you this track off the new joint. This track is hot. Everybody gonna be singing along to this one. This is a love revolution.
Yeah. on the wall, and we have reached officially $100 in the last 18 months, and we are believing God that our next fish dinner, which will be on Friday, August 19th, will get us to our goal of
just to
I love you. Love me, that's why I love you, because you first as I surrender to your will, I confess you are my righteousness, and unto you my